Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome. Welcome to the second meeting of our Young Working Saints and Young Families Conference. I don't know how many of you were, I hope most of you were able to make last night's meeting. I was told we had 338 devices connected. So I don't know actually how many saints that is, but possibly, you know, sort of north of 400 saints. So I feel like the word was so encouraging and so timely. Oh, saints, don't you feel like our work of faith needs to be strengthened? Oh, our labor of love? Oh, and how much in these times we need the endurance of hope? I feel like the words, the Lord is really speaking something to strengthen, to encourage us, and to take us on so that we would live in the light of his coming back. Amen. So we'll have a little more singing now. So pray that I hope that we would all be exercise our spirit to sing. Then we'll have a little prayer. And then actually we'll have three brothers share with us. Don't worry, we will end on time. But then after the sharing, we'll have another time of blending in breakout groups. I feel like it sounds like there are many good reports from the breakout groups last night. You know, many chance just to know one another, to encourage one another in a more personal way. So we hope as many as possible would participate in the great breakout groups as well. So we'll have a little more singing now, and then some prayer and sharing, and then the breakout groups, just to let the saints know. And we're targeting to end around 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Amen. So I think we can continue with the singing. I guess we can put the camera back on the singing group. Amen.
We'll continue with hymn number 396. 396 in English.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I upward bound, Lord, get my feet on high. Higher plane than I have.
Lord, let me offer you by my sin. I pray from the sound of the higher.
To live above the world.
Amen.
Starts
at me
or her.
For faith has caught the joyful sound.
The song of
the same
higher ground.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we want to be in higher ground this afternoon.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. We can just enjoy you together.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we want to scale the utmost heights.
Amen. Amen.
We want to catch a gleam of glory.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord
Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus, bring us higher.
Amen.
Lord, we just depend on you this afternoon.
Amen.
Amen.
We turn our heart to you.
Amen.
Amen. Love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. This time to you.
Amen.
Amen. To us.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we give this time to you.
Amen.
Thank you for your speaking last night.
Amen.
Oh, we pray, speak to us again.
Amen.
I tell you, we love your words.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
Amen. Love your words, Lord.
Amen. Saints, we're going to move on to our last song. This song might be a little new. It was the song that Brother Ricky mentioned in his speaking last night. So we'll sing it a little bit slower the first time so everyone can slowly pick up the tune and the lyrics. And then once we sung it a couple times, then we'll really enjoy it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us return to Jehovah, for he has torn us. Yeah.
up to a key.
We'll take it up
to maybe D.
To D.
Come and let us return to Jehovah, for he has torn us, but he will heal us, and he has stricken us up. He will bind us up, he will enliven us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up.
Return to Jehovah,
amen.
For he has torn us,
amen.
But he will heal us,
amen.
And he has stricken us, but he will bind us up.
Amen.
He will enliven us.
Therefore, let us know.
Amen.
Let us pursue knowing
knowing Jehovah.
Amen.
Therefore, let us know.
Amen. Knowing Jehovah.
Amen.
As sure as the dawn.
Amen.
Amen.
As the rain, which waters the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, saints. Maybe we could just end the singing time by we could all unmute ourselves and pray for a minute. Oh, that we would pursue. Amen.
Amen.
Pursue knowing Jehovah.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
We can pursue knowing Jehovah.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we give you this time.
Amen.
Oh, pray for your word would be released.
Amen.
Lord, to enliven us.
Amen.
Oh, to encourage us.
Amen.
Oh, to pursue.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, in this meeting, there would be your going forth.
Amen.
Amen.
Come to us as the rain.
Amen.
Water each one this afternoon.
Amen.
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 Right, Lord, we do love you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you for this time.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. And now Brother Ricky will start the sharing. Amen. So we'll turn it over to Brother Ricky Acosta. Amen.
Greetings again, saints. Just making sure, can everyone hear me okay? You hear me? Amen. It's possible that for the last couple of months, we've been experiencing the being stricken, being torn. But I do hope that this conference could be part of our all being brought into the third day, saints. And we all would experience the latter rain, which is the Lord himself as the Spirit, as our blessing, watering the earth. This is really our hope. We began with last night with these two crucial verses. I hope the brothers can bring them up for us. The first one was 1 Thessalonians 1:3. This really is where our burden came for this time. Brothers, could you put that up? It reads, remembering unceasingly our work of faith and labor of love and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, before our God and Father. Faith, love, and hope. Our labor of love, our work of faith, labor of love, endurance of hope. The second verse is chapter 5, verse 8. But since we are, and saints, wherever we are, let's read it. This is speaking God's word. Even just reading this together will infuse faith into us. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Thank you, brothers. So, saints, we saw these three points, these three elements: faith, love, and hope. And when you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, you see the Apostle Paul's intimate concern over these young believers. How is their faith? How's their faith doing? Because they had been apart for some time, just as we from you. There's been this concern in all of us. Actually, the rest of this day, we pass it on to four other brothers who will speak to you. And together, our feelings just the same, dear saints. Oh, we want to see, how's your faith? How's your faith? How's your love? How's your endurance? Has it been tested? Has it waned some? Well, we're here to make up that lack, just as what Paul said. But actually, you know, we read this yesterday. When Timothy went and brought back the news to Paul, he was encouraged by what? That their faith was growing and their love had increased to one another and toward all. Oh, saints, I hope this can be our reality. But we see that these three, faith, love, and hope, are the elements, the structure of our Christian life. And to be ready for the Lord's coming, we need faith, love, and hope, not only in a general way, but even we saw as our armor, the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. I mentioned three footnotes that I hope you would read. One of them is related to the first verse, 1:3. We'll leave that to you to read. But I'd like the brothers to bring up the footnote for chapter 5, verse 8. Now, we could look a little at this a little bit. The breastplate and the helmet here point to spiritual warfare. I think that's just logical. The breastplate, which covers and protects our heart and spirit according to God's righteousness, is of faith and love. The helmet, which covers and protects our mentality, our mind, is the hope of salvation. Faith, love, and hope are the three basic constructing elements of the genuine Christian life as depicted in 1 Thessalonians 3. And saints, please pay attention to this highlighted portion. This is what I'd like to impress you with. Faith is related to our will. Faith is related to our will. We need to exercise our will in the proper way to believe. We shouldn't have an evil heart of unbelief. Were you impressed by that verse last night? Saints, it's with me very much. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And that will, in a sense, be a sign at the end time. Faith will be lacking. But saints, we shouldn't. It can't be with everyone, or he will not be able to come back. His bride must be full of faith. And so we have to exercise our will to stand with the word, to stand with our spirit, to stand with the reality that we do have faith as a grain of mustard. We have a living organic faith, and even a little faith can conquer the enemy. We read on. It says, faith related to our will, a part of our heart, and to our conscience, a part of our spirit. Saints, we must exercise our conscience and keep a good conscience void of offense, especially in so many small things related to our family life and one another. Keep short accounts. Enjoy the cleansing of the blood, that we can have the boldness to come forward to experience the grace and the mercy and the grace to meet our timely need. Love is related to our emotion, another part of our heart, and hope is related to our understanding. And this is the part I really want to highlight. Hope is related to our understanding, the function of our mind. All these need to be protected so that a genuine Christian life can be maintained. Thank you, brothers. Saints, hope is related to our understanding, to what's in our mind. And I'd like to check with you, what has been occupying you these days? What is in your mind? You know, our tripartite being is just wonderful, and it's all interconnected. And there are gateways to our being, saints, our eyes and our ears. And we take things in that affect our soul, that affect our heart, and eventually could either dampen our spirit or release our spirit. If all the time in these days you're just looking at the news, you're looking at the environment, you're looking at the economy, don't look at the economy. You're looking at so many things. No wonder we will lose hope. It's just natural that we will lose hope. We need to have the word before our eyes. Oh, dear saints, just a little time in the word will strengthen our faith, will uplift our faith. He is the author and the perfecter of faith, and he wants to perfect our faith. But if we give him our cooperation in the word, that perfecting will go on day by day, actually throughout the day, saints, from the moment we arise, from the moment we open our eyes until the moment we go to bed, our faith can advance and be perfected. I also mentioned another footnote, and I hope the brothers can bring that up. That, well, maybe we should look at the verse first, Titus 3:15. And, you know, there's a wonderful hymn CD that we have. And I hope later the brothers will put even in the chat the way, because these days I know a lot of us don't bother with CDs, but you download music. And we're going to make it easy for you. The brothers are going to put up either before this meeting is over or later. I see it's going up there where you can purchase the CD or you can download song by song. It's all based on this footnote. Now, no, let's go back. You were right, brothers. Thank you. Titus 3:15. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in faith. Grace be with you all. And now the footnote, brothers. Oh, if you could spend a little time, saints, in this footnote. We don't have the time to really dive into it. But here, I just want to highlight something in the first three paragraphs. It says, referring to subjective faith, the act of our believing, which brings us into an organic union with the Lord and operates through love. It is in the element and operation of this faith that the saints who are one with the Lord in his concern, love the suffering and faithful apostle. Next paragraph. Faith and love are two inseparable, excellent virtues of the believers in Christ. I think many of us know this phrase from the hymn, from the song. Faith is given to us by God. Saints, you don't muster up faith. It's given by God. He has allotted to us equally precious faith, that by it we may receive Christ, the embodiment of the triune God, and thereby enter into the triune God to be joined to him as one, having him as our life supply and everything. Love issues out of such a wonderful faith and enables us to live out all the riches of the triune God. Saints, pay attention to faith. Love issues out of faith. And I want to bring you to this next highlighted sentence. Faith is for appreciating, substantiating, and receiving the unlimited riches of the triune God. Saints, read that with me. Faith is for appreciating, substantiating, and receiving the unlimited riches of the triune God. Love is for experiencing, enjoying, and living out the immeasurably rich triune God. Saints, maybe we'll just read up to there. Oh, dear saints, these are not just words for a footnote. These are not just words for a song. Thank you, brothers. Let's come back. Saints, the unlimited riches of the triune God. I'd like to ask you this week, have you appreciated, have you substantiated the unlimited riches of the triune God in your situation? We should have faith. We should have the faith. We should say amen to such a sentence that this could be our reality. Sisters, that you, when you're at home under the challenging circumstances of the remote learning, you have your job. Actually, you already have your job of raising your children. Then you have your secular job. Now you're also their school teacher and their principal. Oh, there's nothing more challenging, but saints, we have the unlimited riches of the triune God. Do you believe that? And it says, love is for experiencing, enjoying, and living out the immeasurably rich triune God. Saints, what's within me is that we are at the precipice of the good land, and Christ is our Joshua, our captain of salvation, and he wants to lead every single one of us daily into the riches of the good land so that his riches match our experience. I hope we could say amen to that. I hope we can have the faith that these are not just superlatives in a song, and it's good for singing, but not practical for our living. Oh, dear saints, oh, the riches, the unsearchable riches. He's our captain of salvation, that we would not have an evil heart of unbelief, but that even this weekend, we would mix the word with faith so that we could be brought into the riches. Saints, I just wanted to add this as a little addendum to what I fellowshiped last night. Now I want to turn it over to some of the brothers. Brother Dennis will pick it up from here. And then we have a little treat after him as well. There'll be much more sharing. Enjoy the hearing of faith. Amen. Brother Dennis.
Can you all hear me? Maybe you can get a wave of a hand there. Is everything okay? Okay, good, good. Just before I start my burden from this verse in Daniel chapter 4, I want to again underline the joy of listening to that CD. I've been listening to it a little bit since Ricky mentioned it, and it is very, very enjoyable and very helpful in getting us and helping us to enter into these riches and the enjoyment of the process triune God. It's really good. Sometimes singing gets me to my spirit faster than anything else. It's very helpful, very enjoyable. Well, I have just 2 points. One is on the side of vision, and we're going to see something from Daniel chapter 4, verse 26. The other is related a little bit to our daily experience, also using Daniel as an example of one who was the dispensational help to the Lord in turning the age at his time when he was carried off into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. So if the brothers could bring up Daniel 4, 26. This chapter 4 takes place after the three companions of Daniel are thrown into the fiery furnace, and then they come out, and Daniel himself kind of worships the Lord and praises the Lord for saving them. So in the beginning of chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar actually is thanking God and worshiping God for who he is. But so a little later in the chapter, he's walking on his roof and looking over his kingdom and thinking how marvelous it is. And then we get to this verse 26 in chapter 4. I'd like to read it to you. I don't know if the brothers have it ready to put up. If they don't, that's fine. I'll just read it. Daniel chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. And this is after Daniel has this dream that there's this great tree reaching the heavens, and which represents Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Then, and he wants someone to interpret the dream. None of his wise men can interpret the dream, but Daniel comes and interprets the dream for him and lets him know that this great tree represents Nebuchadnezzar, and that this tree, which needs to get cut down, is Nebuchadnezzar, and that he would lose his kingdom for a time. Let me just read this from verse 25. You shall be driven out from among mankind, and with the beasts of the field shall your dwelling place be. And you shall be made to eat grass as bulls do, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time will pass over you until you come to know that the Most High is the ruler over the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he wills. And then verse 26 is the main verse I want to share about. And in that it was commanded that the stump of roots of the tree be left, your kingdom will be assured to you after you have come to know that the heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. This is the phrase that the Lord impressed me with when I considered about sharing with you at this time. Thank you, brothers. You can let that portion go. The heavens do rule. Brothers and sisters, we need, our faith must contain and have this vision that God is still on the throne and that he is ruling even in the midst of this terrible environment we're living in the midst of the pandemic, the heavens rule. In the midst of the social unrest that we're suffering through, the heavens still rule. In the midst of probably one of the most divided countries on the precipice of a presidential election, the heavens rule. And I'm just concerned for myself, for all of us, do we realize this? And do we live like this in our daily life? Or are we so anxious about what might happen? What will happen if this one gets elected? What will happen if that one gets elected? What will happen if the pandemic doesn't go away so fast? And I have to keep my kids home the whole school year. What will happen if this? What will happen with that? Well, I feel we all need this vision to steady us, to assure us that the heavens rule. God is in control of every country. He raises up people that we don't feel are suitable to rule a country like Adolf Hitler. Yet he used Adolf Hitler to bring the Jews together, to make them realize they need to return to their homeland. He used that situation to bring the Jews back to it. Now there's an Israel because they were scattered all over the earth. There are a lot of situations that we don't like. People that are in power that we may not like, but God uses them for his purpose. And it's not easy. It's not logical. It's really not logical. It's not. That's why we need the helmet of salvation to guard our mind, because the heavens ruling means that God is in control. The worldly thought is that we are in control, not God is in control. And so whatever we get from the world is trying to give us doubts about God being in control. And I'm afraid that may have affected us over time and throughout this situation and throughout the period that we're passing through. So I'd like to read a little portion from that life study of Daniel on this part. It says in Daniel 4:26, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Your kingdom will be assured to you after you have come to know that the heavens do rule." It is the heavens that rule, not Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus or Alexander the Great or illness or turmoil or rebellion. The earth is under the rule of a heavenly administration. I just feel like my faith needs to be strengthened to see this. Is your faith strengthened to see that the earth is under the rule of a heavenly administration, not of this or that administration, right? The heavens rule for us, and Christ is for us. Furthermore, we are under God's heavenly rule for Christ. The purpose of the heavenly ruling is to complete God's elect. It's for us to be completed. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, right? For us to be completed so that Christ may be preeminent, that he may be the first, the centrality, and everything, the universality of our daily life, of our living, and of the whole universe. Because the heavens rule, Christ is with us in all our situations. How is your faith, brothers and sisters? Do you have this realization? Because the heavens rule, Christ is with us in all our situations. When we are sick, he is with us. I'm reading again from the life study. When we are in turmoil, he is with us. I've been in a lot of turmoil in these past months over so many things happening, reminding me of my own history as a young person when we passed through a similar kind of age in the 60s. When we are in turmoil, he is with us. I can testify that we can enjoy his presence in the midst of turmoil and rebellion. Isn't that good? We can enjoy his presence. How? By exercising a little faith, right? Exercising a little faith, the work of faith, and a labor of love by loving one another and taking care of one another. We can be relieved from all the anxiety and all the difficulties of being in this kind of tumultuous situation, full of even sickness. It's really a difficult, difficult situation. The last little portion of this life study, we all need to learn three things: that this universe is under God's administration, that God's intention in his administration is to make Christ preeminent, to cause him to have the first place in everything, and that for the accomplishment of God's intention, we, his people, his elect, must give him the best coordination and cooperation. Through our coordination and cooperation, God will consummate his eternal intention to make Christ preeminent through the rule of the heavens. Isn't that good? I feel like this is a very important, important portion for us to realize. The heavens do rule. God is on the throne. And that gives me a lot of peace. I don't know how this election will turn out, but however it turns out, whoever the Lord decides to put into power, I'm going to be standing behind him as my next president. It doesn't matter who it is. I know that God has put him there for a reason. I may not know the reason, but I do know and have the faith that my God, our God, is ruling. He is on the throne, and he will remain on the throne for us to be completed, for us to have our full salvation. Now, the second point I want to bring out is actually from what we've enjoyed in New York this week from the Timely Word Conference in week 5, and that is related to just for a couple of days from this week. I was touched in day 1 about from Revelation 12, the greatest dispensational instrument, right? The greatest dispensational instrument in God's administration is this man-child brought forth in Revelation 12. Amen. And that's very crucial. God must have this man-child. And that is the overcomers. And I know we all have heard about this. We all desire to be an overcomer. And I think we can take Daniel as an example here of how to be an overcomer. First of all, Daniel was a Nazarite. We need to have a clear and fresh consecration to the Lord. We have to have great resolutions of heart to give ourselves to the Lord, to become overcomers, to be a part of this man-child, which God needs to bring in to turn this age as the dispensational instrument to turn this age. So brothers and sisters, how is your consecration? I've had to go to the Lord and repent and say, Lord, my consecration is not so fresh. I need new, great resolutions of heart, new, fresh resolutions of heart to give myself to the Lord for his move, for his purpose, to be part of this dispensational instrument to turn the age. And the second item or characteristic of Daniel that you can see in this portion, this week's holy word, is that Daniel not only read the word daily, but joined himself to God's word. You know, when he was captive there in Babylon with the young people from Jerusalem, he refused to take the king's food. Why did he refuse? Because he had read in the word, right, in Leviticus, that we shouldn't eat anything unclean. He, as a Jew, should not eat anything unclean. He shouldn't partake of the king's food. It may have been offered to idols. And he joined himself to that word. And he risked his life telling that eunuch, just give me pulse to eat. And try me for 10 days and find out if I'm okay. He trusted the Lord and he refused to eat the king's food. So we need to take this principle of joining ourselves to God's word. When he read in Jeremiah that this captivity would only last 70 years, right away he kneeled down and prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times a day for those 70 years to be accomplished, that God would bring back his people to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. He joined himself to God's word and practiced God's word. And the third item is this matter of prayer. He was a man of prayer. You know, brothers and sisters, I hope that all of us are praying daily for the Lord's move. Maybe some of us are on the beseeching website and we get the emails every day. I've been very helped by them, encouraging us to pray in specific ways every day. But we need to be those men of prayer every day, beseeching the Lord for his return, beseeching the Lord for one another and to shepherd one another, to take care of one another. And I feel if we will practice these things day by day, have a clear vision, God is on the throne, consecrate ourselves to the Lord, and not only be in the word daily, as Brother Ricky mentioned, a few minutes every day, read the word, but join ourselves to the word, to practice what we're reading, to practice what the Lord speaks to us through his word, and lastly, to pray, to beseech the Lord, and offer our prayers to the Lord for his coming. May the Lord continue to strengthen our work of faith, our labor of love, and our endurance of hope. And may this be our armor in this time of spiritual warfare. Now I'll pass it on to the next brother. I think it's Ted Williamson. Amen.
There we go. Okay. Can you hear me now? Yes? No? Oh, there we are. Okay. Amen, saints. Very good to be with you. Let me change that view so I'm not looking at a big picture of myself. There we go. This is better. Well, it's good to be with you all. Good to be with you all. I tell you, you know, some of the brothers here in Atlanta, we visited New York at the end of last year, really close to the whole shutdown of everything. It was in December. So it was pretty much my last trip, I think. I had one other to Boston after that. But anyway, we got very close to the brothers there. We spent a wonderful weekend with the church. And now I just feel like when there's something happening in New York, it's like, well, that's my church. I want to go. I want to be involved. And then the summer, all of our young people joined in a summer school of truth pursuit with the young people up there. So we just feel like we're getting blended together. So I'm just very happy to be with you and join this weekend with you. And my burden, really, I just want to emphasize and re-speak the same things that have already been spoken. The brothers were just very gracious, said to speak whatever we felt. Well, I was so touched after last night's fellowship, and I did the homework that Ricky gave us. I looked up the three verses and the footnotes, and I just would like to share my enjoyment with you from those three verses and those three footnotes, just to strengthen what was shared last night and what was shared at the beginning of the meeting here. So good. We read the verse again, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. So I won't read it to you again, but it became so clear and so simple that faith, love, and hope, this is what makes up our Christian life. This is the structure of our Christian life. What a simple way to look at our Christian experience, that we have faith, and our faith is our strength to labor and to live this life. And this is faith toward God. And then we have love, and it's the motivation for our work, for our labor. We have a motivation, and it's love. Hallelujah. And that is mainly love, actually not primarily, firstly toward God, but it's love toward the saints. When your faith is strengthened, you just love the saints. You just want to be with the saints. And then we have what? Hope, which is our source of endurance. And that's related to the Lord's coming. So we have God, we have the saints, we have the Lord's coming. That's our life. That's our whole life right there. God, the saints, and the Lord's coming. What a beautiful thing. But I tell you, what comes out in the footnote that is so striking, and Ricky mentioned it, but I'd just like to speak it again to you. And that is this matter of faith. You know, because faith is so critical in this whole Christian experience of ours, and it's the first of the three of the structure of our Christian life, what is so key to remember and to see clearly is that faith does not originate from us. Faith does not originate from the believer's natural ability. And, you know, we're so strange. We're strange people. You know, when you're healthy, you don't think about your health. You know, when you're healthy, you're just living, and you just feel everything's fine. Well, as soon as something happens, you know, you sprain your knee. Wow, now you're so aware of your body, and oh my, my knee hurts, and I can't sit, I can't run, I can't stand. Got a problem. Well, we're that way with faith a lot of times, where it's natural. It's normal. It is very normal for a Christian to have faith, because faith gets infused into us when we believe the Lord. So we have faith. But when we don't, when our faith begins to leak away for some reason, that's when we get conscious of our faith. When we're enjoying the Lord, enjoying the church life, we don't think so much about our faith. But get isolated a little bit, and then suddenly you have doubts. Wow, I don't know. I don't know about this whole thing, this whole church life thing. It's too da-da-da. It's too restrictive. It's cramping my style. It's And I'm not even sure about God. Where is he? I mean, look at this pandemic going on. How could God let this happen? And people are dying. And, you know, all these doubts come in, all these strange thoughts come in, which we give a lot of credence to. We give a lot of credence to the unbelief, to the lack of faith. We don't give that much credence to faith. When we're in the meeting, enjoying the Lord, or we're in the Word, pray, reading the Word, we just, amen, it's just normal. It's just, well, that's fine, sure. I enjoy the Lord today. But oh, wow, just a little bit of unbelief creeps in, and we just, oh, everything's done. I'm over. It's finished. Well, brothers, eventually you see, and this comes out in one of the following footnotes. But first off, just to be so clear, faith is something that is infused into us. Faith is infused into us by God himself, because it is God infusing himself as faith into us. If you are short of faith, if you sense a lack of faith, just get infused. Put yourself in a place to be infused. It's not the time to beat yourself up, to question what's wrong with me. Look at all the saints. They seem to get it. They seem to be enjoying the Lord. And I don't even know if there's a God, and I don't like the church, and what is wrong with me? That's just a big indication. I need to be infused. I need to put myself under the infusion of faith. And Ricky was very simple and clear in presenting, how do we go on then? How do we get faith? If we sense our shortage of faith, for sure, one key is the Word. We have got, you know, if there was a shortcut, I would tell you. But there's no shortcut. We must put ourselves in a position of contacting the Word and letting the Word infuse the very God who is that Word into us. Infuse us with faith. Oh, this is when we come to the Word, this is what we should expect to happen. In fact, the Lord really quickens just a phrase in a verse. You know how that happens. You read a verse forever, and then suddenly one day the Lord quickens just a few words. So it's from John 6, verses you're all familiar with, where the Lord says, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Spirit and our life. And you know what got quickened to me? I have spoken to you. The words I have spoken to you. He could have just said, my words are spirit and life. That's the point, isn't it? But he says, the words I have spoken to you. Oh, we should expect when we come to the Word in the morning and we have our 2 minutes. Ricky didn't make that up. That's in the life study. Brother Lee shared this matter. He said, start with 2 minutes. But what do we do with that 2 minutes? Oh, we have the full expectation. Lord, speak words to me. I want to hear words, and I want those words to be spirit and life to me this morning. That's why we pray, read the Word. The Lord quickens the Word with us. And suddenly a phrase, a word that you'd never considered is feeding you, as infusing you with faith. We must take care of this matter of the Word. Okay, I need to just keep this to 15 minutes, so I'll be quick. But listen to this. There is the possibility, saints, we have to face this somewhat grim reality. There is the possibility that in our Christian life and in our church life, we could become shipwrecked concerning the faith. Now, I won't get into that verse. That's from 1 Timothy 1:19, and faith is used twice there, once subjectively, once objectively, but don't worry about that. They're related. Just know this. They're very related. Our subjective faith makes the faith real to us, and the faith strengthens us with our believing element. But they're very related. But it is possible, according to Paul, that we could become shipwrecked in our faith. And what happens when you're shipwrecked? your faith leaks out. It just leaks out. It is a possibility. And you know, the Lord I think it's Mark 6, where Ricky referred to this last night about the Lord walking on the water. Well, right, that's in the context of, you know, the Lord fed the 5,000, and then he says he compelled the disciples to get in the boat with him. He made them. Compelled is strong. He wasn't requesting a favor of you. Get in that boat. He compelled them to get in the boat, to go to the other side. And Brother Lee points out, this is a picture of our entire life, our Christian life, and our church life, that we're in a boat going to the other side. And what is happening when we get in that boat and we get to the middle and we're not there yet? Guess what? There are storms. Don't be surprised at storms in your church life. We say, oh, but the church is God's green garden. We're growing in his grace. I mean, how could there be? Well, yes, that is true. That is true. But there are storms in the church life. There are storms in your personal Christian life. There are storms in your life. I don't know if you've ever been on a stormy sea, an actual stormy sea. I have, in the state of Washington, going salmon fishing out in the Pacific and getting in a storm. And wow, that is a scary, frightful thing, because you know what happens? You go way down and all you can see is water 360 degrees all around you. It's just a wall of water surrounding you. And then you go up and you can see way out, and as far as you can see, more storm. Drop back down. Oh my, this is actually, we shouldn't be surprised. We've watched too many movies about what our life should be like, what our marriage should be like. No problems, right? You live happily ever after. Isn't that the end of that story? You just, well, you know, let me tell you this quickly. Yesterday was my wife and I's 27th anniversary. And I forgot, when I told Ricky that I would join last night, I forgot it was our anniversary. Don't tell my wife that. Anyway, it slipped my mind temporarily. So anyway, after the meeting last night, my wife and I had a very pleasant little conversation. I gave her a nice card. Of course, you know, we're in weird times. So it's not like we're going to take a trip right now. Or our big outing was, we went to Starbucks yesterday and bought a coffee, and immediately regretted it. We didn't realize there was no seating inside. You have to take it to go because it's all shut down. A mile long of cars going through. It took us like 30 minutes to get a cup of coffee. But anyway, again, that's married life. That's married life. Anyway, we got to talk last night and we kind of review 27 years, all the things that we've gone through in our life, in our personal life, in our married life, unexpected things, highs and lows we never saw coming. And in our church life, we've experienced things we never dreamed could happen in the church life. And in our personal, just Christian seeking, a lot of unexpected things that happened. A lot of unexpected things. And we just said, Lord, thank you that even though we haven't reached the other side yet, we haven't been shipwrecked yet. our marriage hasn't been shipwrecked. Our Christian life hasn't been shipwrecked. The church life hasn't been shipwrecked in spite of the storms. Because one thing that happens when you get in the storms, and it says it clearly in Mark 6, is you have contrary winds. This is, I'm trying to go that way, and the winds are pushing me a different direction. Nothing is helping me with this journey. I'm trying to get to finish my journey and get to the other side, and everything's working against me. There's waves and there's winds pushing me the wrong direction. Oh, brothers, but still, even in that, we have to guard our faith. We have to guard our faith. And the other matter that Paul stressed and Ricky stressed again today was a matter of our conscience. You know, maybe when you hear that, you think, well, isn't that something you talk about with the high schoolers or the junior hires, you know, to take care of your conscience, confess your sins. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Well, yes, of course we do with them. But, you know, Brother Lee's fellowship about that book, The Experience of Life, is it doesn't start here and end here. You don't go, okay, I get regenerated. I deal with the world. I deal with sin. I deal with my conscience. And I just progress. No, no. He says it's a cycle. You're constantly going through this cycle. And every time you repeat the cycle, the only thing that changes is it gets deeper. The experience is deeper. Now, instead of confessing that you lied to your mom about taking a cookie, now you're having to apologize to your wife. Oh, that's much harder. That's much, much harder to do. Honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I should have never said that. I was just wrong. This is how we guard our faith. This is a way to guard our faith. You say, but our conscience is directly, you look at that verse in 1 Timothy 1:19. Our conscience is directly related to being shipwrecked and losing our faith. Very much related. We must keep short accounts, not only with the Lord, but with those around us, with our family members, particularly those of you who are married with your spouse. Don't let it build up. Don't let things build up and begin to take away your joy and begin to leak your faith, even for your own marriage, where you start to doubt your marriage. That's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. Okay, anyway, I wanted to get into the other verses and footnotes, but I missed it. Anyway, I just end with this, to say this. In the next verse that Ricky gave us was 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And you know, Brother Paul begins this this 1 Thessalonians, this epistle, by praising the Thessalonians for their faith and their love and their hope. He was praising them for it. And then by the end, he's doing what? He's exhorting them. Don't lose those things. Don't lose those virtues. Guard them. Protect them. Let them protect you, but you protect them. Strengthen your faith by being in the Word. Strengthen your faith by caring for your conscience. Amen. Okay, I'll stop there. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Oh, I just wanted to repeat these lines from the footnote for Titus 3:15, right? Faith is for the believers to be joined to the triune God who is everything to them. Love is for the believers to minister and transmit the triune God to their fellow believers so that in such a wonderful and powerful faith, all the believers may love one another with divine transcendent love and live a corporate life in Christ. Oh, faith, love, and hope. This is the structure of our Christian life. But saints, if you're like me, I have to admit, oh, what about my faith? I consider the situation, oh, the responsibilities of my family, of my job, with my church life, our service. Oh, are we going to make it? Where's our faith? But I very much appreciated just being strengthened. Faith is not something we muster up out of ourselves. Faith is not something we get by trying harder, right? It's not because of my self-effort that I can get more faith. But actually, faith comes from the infusing of the triune God. And we just need to be present ourselves to him, to be in his word. Oh, I'm so in touch with this verse, John 6:63. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Oh, Lord, speak to us. Oh, speak to us in your word. Speak to us through your body. Oh, that you could, your faith could grow in us. And from this faith, there's the love. A love for the Lord, but also for one another. How do we love one another? Oh, a brother calls you, or you have a feeling from the Lord. Oh, Oh, you should call this brother. What do you do? Oh, is it? I don't have time. I'm so busy. What about this? What about that? Well, if where's our love for the saints? If we don't have love for the saints, our love issues from our faith. And our faith issues by being is infused to, into us by the Lord. Anyway, I'm just so encouraged tonight, this afternoon. And also just to see from this verse in Daniel 4:26, the heavens do rule. I mean, there was so much in that footnote, but sometimes you look around, you wonder both personally, your personal situation and the world situation, and you wonder, what's going on? But I was just encouraged to be reminded, you know, God is still the one on the throne. The heavens do rule. Amen. So now we will take a little bit of time to break out into groups. I believe the brothers who are coordinating the hosting of the meeting will break us out into small groups. I think we'd encourage one another. Encourage one another if you don't know one another, actually first introduce yourself. You know, where are you from? We have people actually, not just from all the different districts in the church in New York and all the churches in the Northeast, but actually from a lot of different places online, joining online. And so we should introduce ourselves to one another. And then I feel like there's so much to overflow from these last two meetings. Amen.